I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says the one that's born of God is an overcomer, and this is the victory that overcomes the whole world, even our faith. Anybody that believes in God, knows much about God, believes He is almighty. There's nothing impossible to Him. There's nothing He can't do. But there's a manward side to Him working in our life, and it's faith. He requires it. It's not optional. Hebrews 11 says, without it, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Well, if you're a real believer, you want to please God. And if you want to please Him, it's not going to happen. No matter how big an offering you were to give, if there's no faith in it, doesn't please Him. No matter how long and hard you pray, if there's no faith in your prayer, not going to please Him. No matter what we do, it needs to start and continue and finish with faith. That's why we got Faith School. Faith in the morning, faith in noontime, faith when the sun goes down. You ready for some more?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking You for the anointing, for Your grace, for Your help in these things. We do want to please You. We want to find and follow and fulfill all Your good pleasure, all Your good will. And so we ask for the utterance, we ask for the anointing, we ask for the working of Your wonderful Holy Spirit, and we ask for every one of us, eyes that can see, ears that can hear, hearts that can discern and understand and receive. And we purpose to be doers of Your word, not hearers only. And we thank You in advance for the great things that happen when we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you would turn in the scriptures with me again to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. For a number of weeks now, we've been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. Now, we've talked about faith, why faith. We've talked about what faith is. We talked about how faith comes, how it develops. We talked about faith for healing for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then we talked about unbelief, what that is, and how to overcome it. And so there's been a lot that we've covered up to this point in Faith School, actually hundreds of messages. They're all available online. If you go to faithschool.org, they're available there at no charge, no commitment. You can watch all of them, listen to all of them as your schedule permits. I encourage you to do it, because one thing builds upon another. And how does faith come?
Hearing.
And what we've learned is, yeah, you can hear and have faith built up pretty good in one area. For instance, there's a lot of Christians, they've heard all of their life that Jesus paid the price for their sins, and that their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're going to heaven. They have strong faith for that. You couldn't argue them out of that. You couldn't convince them otherwise. But when it comes to healing for the physical body, they have no faith at all, because they haven't heard that. They haven't heard that it's God's will for them to be healed, or how that Jesus took their infirmities, bore their sicknesses, carried their pain. They hadn't heard that. And in fact, in some places, they've heard that it's not always His will. And so faith has been robbed, and faith hasn't been fed, and even faith has been stolen. Well, you could have faith for healing if you fed on that for a while and have no faith for provision. Faith is the same It works the same, but it must be fed in each area. And as you go through life, ever so often, you want to feed your faith some more in this area. And then, you know, the Lord will prompt you, okay, feed your faith in this area. I know I had the privilege of working in a healing ministry for a number of years. And so I was teaching and thinking about healing, you know, 24/7, basically, all the time, ministering twice a day on it. And I did that for years. And at one point I realized I had gone years with not even a cold, years with no issues at all. And then it hit me. I need to hear about finances. I need it, right? Because my finances weren't good. They weren't that way. And I realized I hadn't been feeding my faith on that. I'd been feeding my faith on this, and my faith was strong, but I hadn't been feeding my faith on that. That's why we start the class with, what's going to happen here? I'm going to feed my spirit, and my faith's going to grow, right? Yeah. And I'm learning to overcome. Well, that needs to be done in area after area after area. We need faith for how many parts of life? All of them, right? So you need faith, of course, to be saved and not go to hell. You need faith to go to heaven. You need faith that your sins are forgiven. You need faith for protection, right? You need faith for your family, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And for your kids. You need faith for your finances. You need faith for your body.
Yes, sir.
You need faith for your mind, right? And all those things. So that's why we plan to keep having faith school for healing and finance and all these things for some time to come. We're not going to run out of material. And we're not going to run. And if we ever got to the place where we thought, well, okay, we've covered 300 areas now, it'd be time to start over, is that right? And feed again, because you would need to be fed again by that time. So Psalm 23 was our first point. We've been giving 30 reasons why we are sure, reasons from Scripture, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I'd like for you to say that out loud. Just try it out. Say, abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all. Now say it again. Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always God's will for me. Now, if you are questioning that, if when I said that, you thought, well, really? Always? What about this? What about that? Then you are not in a position to have faith for provision. If you are questioning the will of God about this, you don't have faith for it. You could have, but you don't. Because you got to get the will of God settled. How does faith come?
By hearing.
Well, what happens when you hear? Well, then you find out what God has said about it. And when you find out what He has said about it, you find out His will.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And when you do that, you should get settled. It seems like an obvious thing, but it wouldn't be if it wasn't preached a certain way. Most people who hear the part of the gospel about Jesus taking your sins and taking your place, they are absolutely convinced that it is God's will for everybody to be saved and born again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see, if you're questioning that, well, I don't know if it's God's will for me to be born again or not. I don't know. Maybe it's His will for me to go to hell. I don't know. You could not have faith to receive Jesus and be born again until you got that settled. And so that's why we're giving you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 15, 20, 30 reasons. Not that that's all of them. But how many understand what I'm talking about? Even if you were completely, questioning it or adamantly against it, if you respect the Bible, after reason 1, you'd go, well, that's a point. After reason 10, you'd go, it's in there, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And at some point, you should go, that's God, right? I mean, He said it. It's there. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. So our first reason was, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's the Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of it?
I shall not
want. Now that word want is the same word translated lack. Same word is translated lack several times in the same King James Bible. So it's entirely precise and accurate to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. In fact, let me read you some other translations of it. The NIV says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Young's literal says, Jehovah is my shepherd, I do not lack. Why don't you say that out loud? Jehovah is my shepherd.
Jehovah is my shepherd.
I do not lack.
Why?
Because
the Lord is my shepherd.
Because he's my shepherd. He's a good shepherd.
Yes, sir.
Why would the sheep not lack? Because the shepherd takes care of the sheep. Holman says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. God's Word translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Say that out loud. I am never in need. Really? Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd. He takes care of me. I am never in need. Now see, that sounds wrong to a lot of church-going people because they have heard other stuff. They have heard it might be God's will to teach you something through these hard times, through this lack, through this poverty. That is an established doctrine in the church, but it's not Scripture. It's not Bible. It's men's reasoning. Men trying to explain something they didn't understand. And man, one of the most dangerous things on the planet is the religious traditions of men. They have replaced the Word of God in the lives of many people's lives, many people's existence. So notice he goes on to say in the NIRV, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I need. The BBE says, the Lord takes care of me as his sheep. I will not be without any good thing. The easy to read says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead and say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I will always
have everything,
I need. Now, why am I bringing this up? Why are we talking about this? Because is it God's will for us to have provision or not?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Based on what? See, your opinion and my opinion really doesn't matter. People say, well, I have a right to my beliefs just like you do. Not if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to believe what the Lord told you to believe.
That's right.
Not just make stuff up as you go along. You really got to watch about, you know, traditional things. Well, mom and daddy believe this, and grandpa and grandma, and my denomination, and my church, and my group. Yeah, but where did they get it? What scripture is it based on? Just if it was wrong 300 years ago, it's still wrong. It's just old and wrong. Right? So our first point was the Lord is my shepherd. The second one was the goodness of God. The third was the fatherhood of God. The fourth was the creation of God. The fifth was God's will in heaven. The sixth was the God of Abraham. The seventh was, we are the seed of Abraham. The eighth was the blessing of tithing. And nine was honor and riches. And 10 was wisdom and wealth. Now, like I said, if you weren't with us, go online, faithschool.org, and get these previous ones. So we're a third of the way through our 30-point study. And I think if you've been paying attention, you'd be getting inclined. Is that right?
Yes,
that it could be God's will, right? Yes, to have abundant provision. So let's go on today to reason number 11. How many want the rest of the 30? Are you up for it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we won't get them all today, but keep coming. Number 11 in our study, go with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. Every one of these points that we've talked about, we're seeing a very clear truth in the Word, and we're saying, we're asking a question. Like, if the Lord's my shepherd, and he's a good shepherd, and good shepherd takes care of his sheep, how could it be his will for me to be in poverty? And being like, do you see what I'm saying? That's not consistent, is it? And you'll find that lies are inconsistent. Mm-hmm. They're not consistent. They're inconsistencies. Even the most skilled deceivers and liars, they can't help it by nature of what a lie is. Truth is the same. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, it's consistent. But a lie can't be consistent because of what it is. By nature of what it is, there's going to be inconsistencies, things that are not the same every time, because if it was always the same every time and right, it'd be truth. So when people ask a question about, you know, well, what if God, you know, what if it's God's plan for you to suffer with this lack of the, well, one of our points was God's our Father. You can't say, well, it's wrong for fathers and mothers to neglect their children. It's wrong for them to not support and take care of their children, but it's okay for God to let his starve to death. Huh? Inconsistent. Everybody say inconsistent. There's something's wrong here, right? This doesn't match with this. And that's what I'm saying with every one of these points. For instance, we just got through talking about wisdom and riches. Does God want us to be wise or fools?
Wise.
Huh? You don't have to think a long time about answering that question, do you?
No.
I mean, right? Did anybody really pause and go, you could want me to be a fool? Huh?
No.
Now you're laughing, but theology has messed people up to the point where they even entertain ideas like this. Because people try to say, well, everything that happens is God, and there's some crazy stuff going on, and so we just don't know. It's too deep for us. It's too mysterious. No, everything that's happening is not of God. No, God doesn't change.
Right.
Hallelujah. And Jesus the same yesterday, today, forever. Why? He is the way. He is truth. And life and light, he doesn't change. Perfection doesn't need to change.
Right?
And so God doesn't change. And so this thing about wisdom. We read it in Proverbs. Numerous places where if you're wise, you wind up with riches. Huh? You know, just if you quit being dumb with your financial decisions, right? That would help you out enormously in your finances, wouldn't it? If you just quit losing money by doing dumb stuff, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. But see, people turn around and say, yeah, but you know, God could be using this poverty to teach you something. Yeah, but you just got through telling me that if I'd be wise, I wouldn't be broke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now you're trying to tell me that being broke is some kind of blessing in disguise, some kind of reward that I don't even understand. Inconsistent.
Yes, right.
Inconsistencies, which means something's not right here. Something is not agreeing with the truth of God's Word. And so every one of these points, that's what we're saying, that's what we're doing. You can learn that they tell us when it comes to, I guess it's the Secret Service that's involved with the treasury looking for counterfeit money and all that kind of stuff. Well, they don't train their people in every possible counterfeit. They train them with the original.
Yes, sir.
They know, for instance, a U.S. currency, $100 bill, they know the material it's made out of, they know the security strips, and they know all the things. They study the true.
Yes, sir.
They study the real.
Yeah. Hmm? Yes,
and if you know that well enough, you will spot a fake.
That's right?
Yes, why? Because the fake is inconsistent.
That's right.
With the real.
Yes,
with the original that came from the mint. You're going to spot something, go, well, hold on, what's that? That's not supposed to be there. That's not in the real. Well, that's what you and I have to do, is to get so familiar with the real.
Yes, sir.
Right? That it is written Word of God Bible, that when anything, the enemy's trying to fool us with something, trick us, because you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and nights, And after the master, you know, rebuffed him with, it is written, it is written, what did the enemy do? He said, it is written. Right? The enemy starts quoting scripture, but then he tried to misapply it and tried to push Jesus to tempt God. And the Lord didn't fall for that. Why? He knew the real.
Yes, sir.
And he knew the meaning of the real. And he knew, the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of God. You're not just taking half of a verse you don't even really understand. If this statement is true and right, how you're thinking about it, your understanding of it is right, you will find it numerous places throughout the word of God.
Yes,
rightly dividing it. So that's why we're taking the time and not just saying one thought. But if it's true, if what we're saying is true, abundant provision is always God's will for us all. You will find it all through the Word of God. You'll just find place after place that reaffirms that, that's consistent with that. Is God a good God?
Yes.
Yeah. Is He a good Father? Yes. Is the Lord a good Shepherd?
Yes.
Is wisdom good?
Yes.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
well, all of these things tell you, they are linked to provision, not lack. They're linked to abundance, not poverty. And so what we have to do is get delivered from religious thinking. And oh man, it's pervasive and it is sticky stuff. What I mean by that is you get some of it off of you and you'll think, well, praise God. And then you go, oh man, it's over here. You know, we grew up not wealthy, and you know, when you got out and looked around and seen what some other folks had, you realize, well, you could say we were poor. Mm-hmm. But that's not just a financial material condition, that's a mentality, a way of thinking, a way of seeing things. And ever so often, especially in the early days of our ministry, the Lord would deal with me, that's poverty thinking, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
This poverty mentality, poverty thinking. And I'd have to go, that's right, that's right. I'm thinking broke. I'm thinking, why? Because that's how I grew up,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what does the Bible say? We need to be renewed. Our mind needs to be renewed so that we can prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. What is the will? Mind renewal, the result of godly mind renewal is that you find out and you become established in the will of God.
Amen.
You know the will of God. I want you to say it again with feeling. It's always.
It's always.
God's will,
God's will
for us all,
for us all
to have abundant provision.
To have abundant provision.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know, you can tell when you are being fed truth because it edifies or builds up your insides, and the truth will do what for you? It's liberating. It liberates you from restrictions and limitations, and you'll find when it does that, it quickens your faith and it quickens your vision, and there is an excitement.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Does it make you happy to get free? It always makes you happy to get free. And so that's what you experience with the truth. The fourth chapter of Ephesians 4. Down right at the end of the chapter, verse 32, he said, and I'm reading the Amplified on this, he said, become one to another kind. Let's see, I'll just read the King James on it. Be kind one to another. You know, that'd solve a lot of problems right there. Be kind. Be kind. It's a choice. You really can be all worked up, be hurt, be mad, whatever, and get ready to let somebody have it. Or as they say, let somebody have a piece of your mind. like you could afford to lose some this year, son. And you, but you can catch yourself as a Christian, as a child. You can say, "Let me tell you something." Then you remember, be kind, be kind, be kind. God loves you. I love you. And I'm gonna go pray some. So, you can catch yourself mid-sentence, preferably before that, right? And choose to be kind. Everybody say, be kind.
Be kind.
Be kind. Now, what we're going to see in just a moment is he's saying, be like God. Be like Jesus and be like the Father. The Father is kind. He's merciful. If he wasn't, we wouldn't be having class today. This earth would no longer exist. He's had every right to wipe this thing out and start over. It came close in Noah's time. Huh? And it's his to do with as he sees fit. But because he is merciful. Hallelujah. You know, when you get to heaven and you find Noah, you ought to hug him. Is that right? Because, I mean, the whole thing was about to be done. And what the scriptures say? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We ought to come and find Mr. Noah and go, thank you, sir. Right? Because if not, that had been the end of humanity. He's kind, and what he's saying is because he is kind, you be kind. And verse 1, chapter 1 of verse 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That's our number 11 point that we finally got to. We're sure abundant provision is always God's will because he told us to be imitators. That's what that word means. It actually means mimic or imitate, like a child would mimic or imitate their parents. Mimic God. Is God broke?
No.
Does he live in poverty?
No.
Does he ask us to do something he won't do himself?
No.
See what I'm talking about? And our time's up for today. So you got to come back tomorrow so we can get past the text. So everybody said out loud, what do? I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website. Or call us at 941-702-7390.